Good day, everybody. I'm Bob Acton, the host of the Color and Ceramics Podcast. The intention behind our podcast is to showcase ceramic artists from around the world. We meet a range of ceramic artists from professionals at the top of their game to emerging and up-and-coming creatives. And during our conversations, we talk all things clay, and in particular, we're interested in color and surface design, but we touch on form and how the two combine together. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to two new people. First, I'd like to introduce Zanna Owe, who has joined the podcast as a producer to help with show production. Zanna is a potter in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where I reside, and so I'm really pleased to let you know that she's on board with our project. And today, she's taking her hand at the interview as we both interview Emily Holmes from Los Angeles, California. We are excited to have Emily on the show, as her work is unique and represents an interface between fashion and clay. Emily creates hand-built ceramic objects that echo the shapes of familiar textiles and everyday items, things like bags and soft forms, that she reimagines as permanent, sentimental keepsakes. Before opening her studio full-time in Los Angeles, Emily studied art therapy at the Art Institute of Chicago, where she first explored clay as a medium for healing and built therapeutic programs around the tactile, expressive nature of ceramics. Her practice now balances playfulness and refinement, blending nostalgia, curiosity, and a deeply personal approach to form. Through her studio, she offers custom work, ceramic design services, wholesale partnerships, and collaborations with interior designers. I'm sure you'll love our conversation, and you can find out all about her website and social media accounts in the show notes. So let's meet Emily.
Well, Emily, thank you for being here. Welcome to the Color and Ceramics Podcast. We're so excited to have a conversation with you. I wanted to start by just saying how much I admire your work. I feel like what you're creating just expands the world of ceramics, and not only through form and concept, but it invites like a much wider range of people to feel connected to the medium, especially I think those who might not typically be drawn to ceramics. So I think that's super cool. And we appreciate that. We love ceramics, obviously, and want more people to love it as well. So I wanted to start off by asking you just about your artistic journey, where it began with clay or with other mediums, but I'd love to chat about the beginnings of that.
Yeah, cool. First of all, yeah, thank you for having me. I'm stoked to be here. Where did ceramics start? I guess probably in high school, I took my first ceramics class. I think a common theme, a lot of artists will like credit their high school art departments. Mine was great and inspired and encouraged me. So it started there. I went to school for art as well after, where I did ceramics and I minored in psychology. And then I actually went on to grad school and studied art therapy. So in a lot of ways, I don't think my path was ever ceramics. That sort of just happened. I was actually an art therapist for a bit, and I went obviously through that training and schooling. And then the pandemic happened. I think that's a common story too with artists. It sort of disrupted this path and a lot of the work that I was doing. I was straight out of grad school and then trying to navigate this world that nobody really knew how to navigate. And I guess a little bit long story short, my boyfriend got a job in LA. We were living in Chicago at the time, which is where I went to school and was an art therapist. So when he got a job in LA, I came, felt like the right move, and my license didn't transfer. So I couldn't like go directly into being a counselor in California in the way that I was in Illinois.
Gotcha.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna join a ceramic studio. I'm gonna make some friends while I figure out the paperwork. And I just started making, and some gigs lined up, and it kind of snowballed and a little bit took off on social media. And I was like, you know what? I should go with this momentum. It felt wrong to like stop this moment that I have and kind of go back to this original plan of, you know, becoming a counselor. And we're like almost 4 years in, which is kind of crazy.
Well, we're glad you stuck with it because, yeah,
Yeah.
what you're creating is so cool.
Yeah. I like joke with my friends. I'm like, I think I became a ceramicist by accident, but I love
Totally.
it. It's the best thing.
Oh, well, very cool. Yeah, your pieces have such a unique presence to them. I've never seen anything like what you're creating, and I love, obviously there's a fashion influence. We'd love to hear more about what inspires you? What influences your work? Where did you come up with the ideas to build what you're building?
Yeah, I feel like that's a really natural segue from that kind of story. When I was working as a counselor, I was sort of thinking about baggage, right? Like the weight of the things that we carry. And there's sort of these sayings like, you know, put yourself in someone else's shoes, or you don't, you know, haven't like walked this like life that another person has, or you know, you never know the baggage that people are carrying, and sort of this like weight that we hold in us sometimes, or like a lightness that we have. And so when I was practicing as a counselor, ceramics was sort of my way of, I think just like being in the space, also like caring for myself when I was doing heavy work. Even the notion of that, right? Like heavy work. And so I don't know, the bags and shoes is kind of where it started as a progression of me, like, yeah, exploring the work that I was doing.
Cool. Oh, I love it. Would you be willing to share a little bit more about your process, your techniques? Do you have a favorite part of your process?
Yeah, totally. A lot of my work, actually all of my work is built with slabs. I love slabs. kind of hard slabs, soft slabs, manipulating slabs. I build a lot of things in paper, actually, especially like the bags and components of shoes sometimes. I'll cut out, you know, like maybe the sole, like the size of a sole of a shoe, sort of the face of a bag and the sides. And I'll like roughly construct it with paper and then deconstruct it and cut those out of my slabs.
Gotcha.
That's
Very
probably
cool.
my favorite part. It's like
Yeah,
the
okay. So making like the
building.
template and then building from there. Oh, very
Yeah.
cool. Yeah, I love
Exactly.
slab as well. Slab is where my heart is as
Yeah,
well.
right.
So I love that. Yeah.
Everything changed when I found out how to use slab roller.
Yeah. Are there any artists that have inspired you over your process or like resources or references that you use that you draw from as well for inspiration?
Yeah, totally. You kind of mentioned it before, but I'm really inspired by fashion. And even like the campaigns that fashion houses do. So it's not only, you know, an object, but then it's how you present it or how you style it and put it out into the world. It's almost like a marketing campaign. But that part is really fun for me.
I love watching. Oh, sorry.
No, I would say I follow like all of like big designers and kind of, yeah, just inspired by that process.
I loved watching the YouTube videos of when you would show the bag that you'd created and then where the bag was seen on people and how people styled it. I thought that was just such a cool connection. I really enjoyed that. How do you approach glazing? Obviously, this podcast is called Color and Ceramics. So, where we love to talk about surface design and everything. Would you talk a little bit about your process of how you personalize and create your glazing?
I actually, when I first got your email, like color and ceramics, I was kind of nervous because I was like, I don't actually utilize a lot of color. But that's also intentional. So I think it is, relevant. But I was like, oh, wow, color. I use a lot of like solid, like really kind of like striking colors. It's very clean. I like glossy stuff. I also work a lot in like raw stone to sort of like show, what am I trying to say? I want people to know that it's ceramic. Because I think that there are some parts or like some artists that are working in this realism space where it's like you want someone to maybe second guess, right? Like, is that a real thing or is it ceramic? And there's kind of a concept there that I think is really great, but it's not what I'm working in. I'm kind of taking these like really familiar forms, and I want you to immediately know that they're ceramic, that it's like this hard material.
For sure.
And so I think these like kind of really dramatic, like striking solid color glazes give you that.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely tell that it's ceramic, but it's like that show, like, is it cake? I like that
Totally.
I like that you have like a very solid idea of what you want to put out there, and you're doing that. It's extremely cool. I also loved that you had brought attention to the single-use plastics idea and the collaboration with different brands, the cowboy boots. Both Bob and I are here in Calgary, so we're definitely drawn to the Western stuff, or surrounded by the Western stuff. So that was really cool to see as well. We talk a lot about like different challenges and things that have that you've experienced to bring growth in your process as well. I think every artist has their own set of challenges, especially when working with clay. It's a finicky guy, but has there been a particular hurdle or in your journey that you feel like shaped you as an artist?
That's a really good question. Honestly, I think I might a little bit be going through it right now. When I first started making this work, it happened very fast. The internet, as you all know, as artists, like it can really like amplify your work quickly. And so I think for me, and I feel very lucky for that to have happened, but I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a direction. I didn't have contacts with galleries. Like I literally, it just happened so fast. And so I think for many years, I felt like I was playing catch up. Like I was making work when orders and like kind of demand was already coming in. So for many years, I've sort of been trying to keep up with demand. And for the first time, I'm like, okay, well, be strategic. Like, where do you actually want this to go? What do you want to do? Do you want to be making the same thing for years? Is it time to, pivot into more of a fine art space? And I wish I could give you an answer, but that's kind of what I'm contending with
For sure, yeah.
right now. It's like, where does it go from here? And
Yeah.
so it's been exciting, but
For
that is
sure.
my current challenge.
Yeah, my next question was going to ask how you handle like a creative rut or times when things just aren't flowing, aren't working. Do you have any processes, especially with your history and art therapy, any things that you pull from with your education in that and processes that you would use maybe with people in the past in art therapy to get things flowing?
That's a great question. I think at the end of the day, when I'm in a creative rut or even, trying to figure out what direction I'm going in, I have to remember to make things for myself, make things for my house. That's one of my favorite things to do. If I'm like, what do I do next? I'm like, you know what? I really need a lamp in my living room and I'm going to make that. And usually I don't end up, replicating that lamp, but the process will lead to, or I'll make a decision in the process that informs maybe like a next collection of things that I'm going to do. Yeah, I love my home and like interior design, so it's full of one-off projects that have gotten me out of like, I guess, a creative rut.
No, I love that. I can definitely connect with that. If I need to, when my plant babies grow, I need to make a new plant pot for them. And it's just
Totally.
looser when you're m building or making for yourself, right?
It
And
is.
it can
And then it's
reignite.
almost like I like it better.
Yes.
I make better work and I'm like, okay, I just need to pretend like this is all for myself.
Just loosen up, let it flow, totally trust yourself in the process. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob, do you have anything you want to add here?
Yeah,
I know.
I'm real. Yeah, thanks, Zana. I'm really interested in your creative juices, so to speak. Like what inspires you? So you talked about just now needing a piece of art, or you need a piece of something in your house, right? And we can all relate to that. Is there anything else that really inspires you and really excites you that gets you doing something in your studio?
Yeah, definitely. I think the challenge of manipulating clay in a certain way that I haven't seen before. I obviously I work in like I'm kind of trying to create forms that are soft, right? Or like bows that are tied or surfaces that are pleated or stitched or folded. So really just trying to stretch the limits of clay is really exciting for me. And I guess what I'm inspired by.
Yeah. So I can see that in your work when you're making an object, like you make purses and so on, right? And clothing. And so when that's there, but when you get to add on that component for yourself of being able to just try something new and push the limits of clay, I suppose to the point where it's going to break or it's going to crack in the kiln and you've got to start over again. And that's what I hear is really important to you.
Yeah, exactly. And I love too the idea of ceramics existing in your everyday life, but also stretching what that means, right? Because I'm not necessarily talking about a mug that you use every morning or a flower vase, but like how are ceramics integrated in your life, like I'm physically wearing ceramic purses like out to dinner, right? And I'm sort of like, I like the idea of like getting ceramics and clay into spaces that they haven't traditionally been, right? And everyone's so scared of like, oh, ceramics are fragile, ceramic will break. Oh, why would I ever take it out of the confines of my home? And I love that. It's like risky. And yeah, it's exciting. And people are really like excited to see it.
Is your work light? I can imagine going into a restaurant with a purse on your arm and it's heavy with clay, right? So are your pieces really light? How do you approach that?
Yeah, they're very light, actually. Well, not all the ones, like some of them are obviously meant to be vases and stationery. But some of the smaller bags, yeah, my slabs are extremely thin. Which is also why I think it's cool to see them in person because not only do they have these folds and really sort of meticulous things, but it's also done with extremely thin clay, which makes it even more difficult, as you probably know.
Yeah, no,
Absolutely.
you know, I would think a ceramics person would really relate to the thinness because we all know how difficult it is to
Yeah. Yeah,
make
exactly.
things, particularly functional things, that are thin.
So cool. Yeah, your voice is so distinct, and I love what you're creating. And would you have any advice maybe for a budding artist or somebody to help discover their own unique style, their own unique voice like you have?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess maybe there's a couple, but I think first and foremost, like, you have to love your art. And I think sometimes I'll come across people, and I'm guilty of it too, where I'm like making for other people, or I'm making for consumption. I even caught myself the other day, like, trying to choose a color, and I was like, well, what will people like? And I caught myself in that. I'm like, I think that, like, if you go down that road, you're not gonna discover a style that is distinct for you. And yeah, to make it niche, I guess, because once you accept that, then you can make work that you really love. And it doesn't matter what other people think. And I like truly believe you can be making the craziest, weirdest, most funkiest stuff. Like, there is an audience for you. Ceramic, like carrying a ceramic bag out to dinner is ridiculous. It makes like it doesn't make sense. It's really not functional. But there will be people that are like, that's kind of weird and cool, and I'm gonna risk my couple $100 bag and do that.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that the reminder of if you're creating what you love and your heart is in it, that people will feel that and it will come full circle, right? But if you are producing to produce and thinking about what's gonna sell, what are people gonna be drawn to, then it's not coming from that space that it all began in, right?
I really think there's like an audience for everybody. It's not necessarily, I'm not saying that finding that audience is easy, but it's there if you just make the work that you love.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell us a little bit more about your how you utilize social media? I'm very inept when it comes to social media. Bob's pretty darn good. But like I loved watching your videos, seeing you in your process, and how did you really dive into that space? Can you expand on it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I a little bit referenced it before, but this idea of, you see fashion campaigns or clothing like on a runway, and there's these certain ways to show off and like style your work. And I was really inspired by that because I think a lot of times traditional, gallery art, I'm using like quotations, is, it's on walls in like blank walls, right? Or it's on, I think you're always taught to like get that portfolio shot, like shoot your piece with like a plain white background. And I was really inspired by the idea of taking art and getting it into like another world or creating a world for it. Outside of this thing that feels sterile, which fashion does, and also interior design, right? Like, I love when artists maybe partner or have their work bought by an interior designer, and then they stage it in this beautiful home. And so I was like, okay, well, how can I do that for my own work? I live in a small apartment in LA. I don't have, a beautiful home to stage things. So I've had to get a little creative. I'll rent Airbnbs for the weekend, like really nice ones, and I'll take my work there and I'll photograph it, or I'll like put on an outfit and kind of go out into the world and photograph it there. I'm asking friends. I'm just constantly taking ceramics into places where maybe they're not usually staged. And I do think that that's really helped my social media platform because, yeah, I think it's like it's twofold, right? You see the work and you're like, oh wow, that work is cool, but then you see it somewhere interesting, And so it's almost like the somewhere interesting becomes like a second part.
Can I ask a quick question? Like,
Yeah.
what story do you add in with that? Like, to me, that's really interesting. And I'm sort of thinking about some of my work and how I could use your idea of renting an Airbnb. And I don't know if I'll do that, but I have, like, it's making me think about some other things. But
Absolutely.
how do you take your story along with the photograph or the video?
That's a really good question. There's kind of two parts to it. I do believe that like objects are meant to be used. There's a functional aspect to a lot of my work. And so I think the regular uses for ceramics are, eating and drinking or to hold flowers. So I'm really trying to expand use, expand the idea of function. So is it meant to hold things? So I have to show that, right? I have to show things that maybe hold tools or hold my phone or my wallet or anything. And sometimes I like showing things that hold flowers too. I think that's like really beautiful and practical. But I'm trying to get a range. So I think that there's a story there. And then also I'm interested in like the absurdity of it, right? Like I think it catches people's attentions and like art is meant to be a little bit absurd. Like absurd things are beautiful. They kind of disrupt this normalness. And I recently took a bag like to the beach and I was like, I want to show this getting plummeted by water to show that it is like not only waterproof because it's ceramic, but like it's durable. And I can take it to a place like the beach and have it get dirty because it can go in my dishwasher after to get clean. And so I think I'm just really interested in this idea of like, why is that there? Why should that be there? And I'm asking like, well, why not? Like, sure, it doesn't make sense, but why not?
Very cool. Very cool. Because I do think the story has to go with the image, right?
For sure.
That if
Yeah.
we just post images, which I think, I'm bad for, and I think many of us are, we
I
think
am
that's just what
too.
we should be doing is posting images, right? But
Mm-hmm.
to me, the story has to go along with the image, which is what I hear you really thinking about.
Yeah, definitely. I probably don't do a great job always of communicating the story. I'm a little bit like guilty of being one of those artists that like puts things out there and I'm like, well, you can, come to it or, let me know what you think of it. Which is why things like this is fun, right? An opportunity to sort of tell the backstory in like a more long-winded way, because I don't think captions always, I don't even know how I would say that in a caption.
It's true. Everything's these days is about being quick and short. And I used to do a lot of work in the business world. And so when you wanted to send something to a CEO or a VP or something, you had to make it very short so that because they're super busy. And so it's like that everywhere we go these days. Everything has to be short little bites. When in fact, really, I think the interesting part is listening to people's stories like you about where do things emerge from, and how do I do it, and what do I do if a piece falls on the floor? All those kind of things that we pay attention to.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really inspiring for us to think about. And I appreciate you slowing down with us and having this conversation with us. And I really hope that the people who follow you will love having a deeper insight into what's going into your work. I know that the people who listen to our podcast will be thrilled to hear it as well.
Awesome. Thank you. I hope that they take that away too.
Absolutely, yeah. Can you give us some insight into what anything that you're working on right now, anything you want to share with us that is kind of budding that we could have a sneak preview of, or
Yes, actually, I sort of full circling from when I was talking earlier about my challenge, I guess, or sort of this pivotal moment. I am working on some more, I guess, how would I call it? Like intricate work, larger more detailed, more, I guess, gallery work, you could say. And I'm really excited about it. It feels refreshing. It took me a long time to get to a space where I didn't have to constantly produce and produce and produce to, pay rent. And so I'm finally at a space where I'm getting to slow down and I get to make a couple of big works each month. And I'm really excited about them. I think it will help my audience like see the full picture. Because sometimes these like smaller and more commercial products that I do make a lot, they only like scratch the surface on some larger ideas that I'm trying to talk about. So I'm excited for that. I've been wanting to make this work for a really long time, and it's happening. I don't know where it will live. I need to make some contacts with some galleries, but I'm making it, and I'm excited about it.
Wow, fair. That's congratulations. That's exciting when you have that time to just really let it flow. I can't wait to see what it's all about.
Yeah, me too.
Very, very cool. So, if people were wanting to find your work, we know you have your website, we have your YouTube, your social media. Is there anywhere in person? Because I want to touch one of these bags. Where can anybody find these
Yeah.
pieces right now?
Okay, where can you find me? Not a ton of places right now, unless you're in LA. I'm super open for studio visits. My studio is in like kind of near downtown, so anyone in the area can always send me a message. I love to host people. Yeah, but not as of yet. We'll see. I'm working on getting some wholesale accounts. Back in Chicago, where I used to live, in New York and LA. So maybe there sometime in the next couple months. But as of right now, I'm an online girl, unfortunately.
No, that's fair. I love that you open up your studio to people too, because I think people are really seeing that space where you're creative. It just creates so much more connection between you and your work and people that are interested in it. So that's thoughtful that you open up your space to people.
Totally. I love when people get to interact with it. I wish there was an easier way for that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Cool. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your
Absolutely.
process. Bob, is there anything else that you want to add up before we?
No, I don't think so. I think that was awesome to hear your story, and I think our audience will love connecting with you. And of course, we'll post your website and social media sites and stuff on our information. So thank you so much. Really appreciate you being here, Emily.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Zara.
Thank you.
Okay.